Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Got Barry Zaluga joining us. What's up, Barry? How you doing, brother?
B. Mitch, how you doing?
I am fantabulous, man. So your thoughts of the game last week?
This week.
It was just a couple days ago.
Yeah, 2 days ago. So here, I think you guys probably come down in a similar way. Like, did they find a bunch of ways to not win that game? They sure did. And a lot of different things could have gone, you know, if one of maybe five or six things had gone differently, maybe they won, you know, if the spot was better on the Ertz play, if Cosme had made the block on the draw play, if Benjamin St. Juice could cover Mike Williams on what was obviously going to be a fade from Russell Wilson, you know, 100 different things, maybe they come out on top. But I think the overall takeaway is that because they have played how they have to this point, and because they're atop the division, like, what is represented in that game is that the standard here has changed. Like, what is expected is different than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. There is, like, an expectation that the plays are going to be made, the game-winning plays are going to be made, and that has kind of flipped the script in what still has to be seen as an incredibly fast time. Like, you're talking 10 games into a new regime's tenure here, and the complete expectation around the franchise has changed and the standard has changed. And I think, you know, does it sting for the fan base that they lost? Sure. But that's also like a new morning in America, because it has not been that way here for so long. So it's just that's more my takeaway than any individual play from the game or should they have beaten the Steelers. It's like, oh my God, like, there's an expectation around this team now that didn't exist 5 months ago.
I agree with that for sure. I wonder, though, before we turn the page to Philly, right, do you think Washington gave that thing away, or did the Steelers take it somewhere in the middle?
You know, I kind of feel like – I don't feel like it was some sort of epic collapse, right? Did they have a 10-point lead in the second half? They did. They're playing down some linemen. They're playing down Brian Robinson. They're even playing down their kicker, and I know that didn't really come into play, but it might have if they had to line up for a game-winning field goal. Like, I don't think of it, JP, as, like, a complete giveaway. Like, if they had lost to the Browns or the Panthers or some the dregs of the league like that, I would be like, oh, man, here we go again. I just feel like that's a well-coached, quality opponent. You know, did Russell Wilson do a very veteran thing and sell a hard count to a rookie defensive lineman? He sure did, and you could dwell on that part. I just don't come away with, like, this super bad taste in my mouth for the franchise. Like, oh man, what an absolute giveaway! It's more like they're still putting the pieces in place to learn in those winning times that to come through every time. And this was just a missed opportunity that I think importantly was in a game against an AFC team and not one that's going to likely to affect playoff seeding and that kind of, if they gave it away, if they played that same game against the Eagles, I think that would hurt more. And I might feel a little bit differently about it, but because it had, like, if this becomes a pattern, then that's a problem. It's not a pattern yet. I kind of give them a pass on it.
I guess, like, what I'm hearing from you is, like, you know what, yes, they lost, but I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Because when we lost last year, we knew it was going to be two or three more coming.
That's right. That's right. And now, like, could they lose to the Eagles? Yes, but I don't think they're going to lose to the Eagles 31-7. You know, like, I think everybody expects a good old-fashioned NFC East game. It's a primetime game that has stars on both sides of the ball that should draw eyeballs. Like, this is what you want. I saw a stat from Zach Berman, one of the Philly writers who a million years ago interned at the Post, so I'll always think he's like 22, but he's probably like 40.
He also kind of looks 22.
Right, exactly.
He's a young-looking fella.
But he said the last time that Washington and Philadelphia played each other, and both were more than two games over 500, was the year 2000. So get your arms around that. Like, these two teams have not been good at the same time, and that's mostly Washington's fault, right? Through, you know, most of those 24, 25 seasons. But this is what you sign up for, man, a divisional game. As we get closer to the holidays, the weather's getting colder, you're in prime time. Like, let's strap it on. This is going to be fun.
It should be fun. Are you going up?
Oh, indeed, yeah. Yeah, little okay. Acela action, as you know, my preferred way of traveling.
You're an Acela traveler.
Acela is fast, dog.
Barry's just racking up them points. I know how the game goes. What do you think of Jaden now? Talk with our friend Barry Sferluga from the Washington Post. Does great work. Follow him at Barry Sferluga. Jaden has been so on fire that, you know, against the Steelers, I thought he was good, fine, but not his best. What does it say about, kind of to your earlier point about, you know, you expect them to make plays to win, that Jaden just played pretty well against one of the best defenses in the NFL, and it's, you know, not disappointing, but you're like, oh, man, he could have played a bit better.
Well, I think if you go back to the beginning of the season and you're told, okay, here's his 10th game, both statistically and visually, and then you're told that's his bad game, You would sign up for that a million times out of a million. Like that, like, he still did not put the ball on the ground. He still did not throw an egregious pick. Was he off accuracy wise? Sure. Could that be tied into the rib? I don't know. Maybe. But if that is his low ebb, then this guy is absolutely for real. And I don't think, with some exceptions, his receivers helped him a ton the other day either. No. And I also think, like, Brian Robinson being out of the lineup makes me appreciate Brian Robinson being in the lineup, because then Austin Eckler gets to be Austin Eckler instead of having also to be Brian Robinson. I just think there's a trickle down there that could play into everything with the offense, that Eckler doesn't have to try to get the tough yards, so then he can be the guy that's targeted on a check down on third down. He probably makes Ertz better. I think there's a real trickle down through all of that. But to your point about Jaden, I just think that the fan base should be ecstatic that this guy is your quarterback. If you're talking about that being the 10th game of his career, and you're kind of like, he wasn't really himself.
Yeah, I just think that, look, as fans, we get spoiled rather quickly, because we watch quarterbacks who've been in the league 5-10 years have a bad day. He had a bad day. He had a game that wasn't his best game. And we're going, wow, man. We're questioning things because he's been so damn good. So we got to realize what we have. You know what I mean?
Well, but that goes back, Brian, to the standard changing, right? Like,
yes.
This, if Taylor Heineke played that game, you'd be like, oh, he's gritty. He was hurt. He's like, he's making the most out of what he's got. Well, this guy has more. And we know he has more because we've seen him have more. And I don't think any Commanders fan is coming out of that game worried about Jaden Daniels' potential, Jaden Daniels' performance in the future. Mm-hmm. I think they're saying, well, that wasn't his best game. He's still damn good. And I would say this, too, that going into when the drive that ended with the Ertz spot that they didn't give him, I think everybody that was there in Northwest Stadium as a Commanders fan was thinking, you gave Jaden Daniels the ball with 2 minutes and change left, you're in trouble. And I would also say that even though they had blown all their timeouts and there was going to be a minute or so left after a punt, I think everybody that was a Commanders fan at Northwest Stadium thought, okay, Mike Tomlin, you're going to punt the ball to Jaden Daniels? Like, we've still got a shot. Like, that, he has changed the mindset of what is possible. And instead of expecting the worst, which we've been trained to do here for two or three decades, you're anticipating, oh my gosh, he's got another chance. What's going to happen now?
It's been just fascinating and fun to be along for this ride, I think. We are talking with our friend Barry Svrluga, of course, columnist for The Washington Post. You can follow him on X at Barry Svrluga. I did want to take a little bit of time to kind of look around the sports calendar with you, kind of just around the sports universe. Ovechkin on fire. The Caps play tomorrow night. I think Toronto's in town. I know how much you've covered the Caps over the years and how much you've enjoyed kind of getting to be a part of Ovi's tenure. What do you make of this start for him?
So, I mean, this is perfect timing because I just came from Caps practice and I'm writing an Ovi column for tomorrow. So, over the years, and I go back to, I think I first wrote a profile on him in his second season. You know, I've had to kind of come up with different ways to write about kind of what is the same thing, which is this ridiculous talent and knack for scoring goals. He is 39 years old. I went back and used some special internet tools that I have and tried to figure out how many 39 or older people have scored 40 goals or more in a season, because it's going to take 41 for him to tie Gretzky and 42 to pass in this 2024-25 season. I found out that not only do guys who are 40, they don't score 40 goals. It's like guys that are 37 and older, there have been only four 40-goal seasons from guys that age to this point in the history of the game. Gordie Howe had one. Ovi had one 2 years ago. And then you're going back to, like, the Johnny Busicks and of the world, like really old-time hockey legends. What he's doing is essentially unprecedented with 10 goals in his first 14 games. That's like a 57-goal pace. He's not going to score 57 goals, but, damn, he might get to 41 or 42. And that's going to be, like, those last – not only are – if that happens, the Caps are going to be good, because there's really no way that he has this amazing season and the parts around him all collapse. So they would be kind of driving into the playoffs. But those – picture that last couple weeks of the season, last six or seven games, if he's driving for that record. I mean, we're already talking about it after every game he scores. There's going to be some hype in the spring if he keeps up something of this pace.
I told JP, I think it was yesterday, that he's been scoring from that same spot since he got in the league, and they haven't stopped him yet. You let him start getting closer, and his energy goes up, because when you get close to making those amazing achievements, you get a lot more energy. It could be a problem for a lot of people this year.
He is that personified, Brian, like, and Tom Wilson has told me this for years. Like, most guys score a goal and they're like, okay, I'm on the board tonight. Like, I can't really, you know, it's hard to score a goal in hockey. I feel good about this. Ovi scores a goal, and this is what Wilson has always said, and he smells the next one. Like, he wants the next one. And you're right about the moment. Like, the 800th goal, that's a big one. Like, all these milestones, like, as he gets closer, he just, you know, he turns it up another notch a little bit. He's that kind of emotional player. And I will also say, Brian, you make a great point about where he's, you know, the office on the left face-off circle. He scored a bazillion on the power play there. But I talked to Brendan Shanahan, who's a Hall of Famer and is one of the guys who scored 40 goals at an older age. I think he was 37 when he did it in his last season with Detroit. And he said that what you have to do as you get older, and Ovi has done this, is figure out other ways to do it too, because as much as he scored from there and as hard as he is to stop from there, teams can shade that side, particularly on the power play, and make the team go elsewhere. Ovi has gotten to the net more the past year and a half. He has been a little bit more creative. He's had pucks go in off his body because he's created traffic, which is like an old school greasy way to score goals. He should be given credit not only for doing what he's always done and not being able to be stopped, but for creating new ways to create offense and score goals as he pushes closer to the record.
How much is Connor McMichael helping? Because he scored 10 goals as well so far.
Yeah, so they're not playing on the same line right now. So I think that they're rolling. I mean, they've got a really good thing going in the start of the season. I didn't see all the pieces fitting together as well as they have. Dylan Strome is the guy who's finding Ovi the most. And his assist numbers are way up because Ovi is burying the passes that Strome sets him up with. So this isn't – the 10 goals in 14 games, if you go and chart them, they're not all from the same spot. They're not all on the power play. They're not all empty netters as they're protesting leads late. I think what's impressive is how many different ways he's done it. And then Strome is really doing a great – they have a great chemistry right now. That line feels like they're on a roll. And the Caps are on a roll in part because you take the McMichael line. They were the first teammates to have 10 goals apiece. They both got there the other night in St. Louis when they just had a beatdown of the Blues, an 8-1 win the other night. So touchdown. Ovi is kind of leading the way, but the Caps have a lot of good things going on right now.
All right, last one for you, Barry, and this is kind of a Sverluga special. There's few people we can hit, football, hockey, and then go to college hoops. This kid, Cooper Flagg, the fact that there's already enough buzz about him and it's November and this isn't really college hoop season. I know they're playing games, but, like, we're going to talk to you about college hoops in February and March. But this kid had all the hype coming in. He's from Maine, right?
Yeah.
And I think you got Duke, Kentucky tonight, and there's no football on, so it's a good night for Duke, Kentucky to play. How legit is this dude? Does he seem worthy of all the hype? This is probably the most talked about American basketball player in a few years.
Yeah, in a while, right? I mean, I'll say this, it would go back to last summer when Cooper Flagg was one of the kids who was selected to play against the U.S. Olympic team in some scrimmages and workouts. I'm sure they were in Vegas prior to the Olympic team heading over to Paris to play and win gold over there. And he turned heads there. You're talking about, you know, obviously a team with Durant and Tatum and LeBron and, you know, just a ton, you know, all the Hall of Famers, all world talent. And he not only held his own, he turned heads. So it's very, very strange to have a kid from Maine where, you guys know, I've worked a long time ago and still, you know, it's not a real athletic hotbed. He did go to IMG Academy to finish his career down in Florida. So he's played top level competition. And I think as it ties to Washington, I mean, JP, I know you do Wiz altcasts, like the way you want this Wizard season to unfold is like
to draft that kid.
Have Saar and Koulibaly and Bub Carrington and all those guys develop and be good players, but lose a bunch of games by like 6, 8, 10 points. And
they get sure did
the,
last
the
night.
yeah, exactly. But get the highest odds for this kid's because he's the game changer. Like, people weren't sure if there was a real game changer, franchise changer in this year's NBA draft. I don't pretend to be an expert in that area, but people say that this kid is exactly that. So put him in a Wiz uniform, and maybe we're talking about another turnaround up for another franchise in town at some point.
Wow, there you have it.
Looking forward to it.
Listen, Barry, I'll take this offline. I'll text you, but you really disrespected Nick Kaner Medley right there. I thought we at least
good call.
Had to address that.
Ooh.
Good call. I covered Nick Kaner Medley, so I know exactly who you're talking about.
I figured you were one of the four people that were going to know who I was talking about when I said that. Barry, as always, thanks for the time, bro.
Appreciate you, Barry.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you soon.
It's our guy, Barry Sverluga. Give him a follow at Barry Sverluga, Sverluga. When we come back, let's go around the whole NFL. There's a whole lot of teams falling apart out there. We'll tell you who's got it worst.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Tomorrow we're going to take a look at power ranks all over the NFL. Today, let's just take a look at the NFL.
Let's go.
Obviously, the Chicago situation. It's 9 games into his career. how significant is the damage to Caleb Williams, regardless of how much of it is self-inflicted, his own level of play?
Yeah.
How significant is this level of damage to a young quarterback?
Well, it's depending on where it goes from this point. You know, can someone come in and make him a little bit more disciplined? Because he's not very disciplined. And if you're looking at the frustration of his receivers, they understand. They like this offense, but they understand he's going to do everything basically off schedule. And a lot of times, how many seconds you got to run the damn route? 5, 10? But that's cool late in the game or when a scramble situation comes up, but every play? So I think it could be damaging if they don't get things fixed, but it could not be because he could get somebody in, get him more disciplined, and have him doing stuff on schedule, and that work out. Now, is he a guy who loves it, loves doing things on schedule? Or will he always be the guy who have to be there for the heroics? You know, when you force that thing, it can become a problem.
So Thomas Brown gets the OC gig. Brown has been a hot name since his time with the Rams when he got an assistant head coach title, kind of bounced around since then. A bunch of bad jobs, frankly. He's got a big chance now. You look elsewhere. He didn't do a bad job. I'm saying he was in bad jobs.
Yeah.
You look elsewhere on that roster. Unless I am missing something, Brian, which I don't think I am, they don't. If you fire the head coach, there's also the question of who becomes the head coach. They don't have anybody on that staff with head coaching experience.
And probably by design, too.
Dude, when we talk about self-preservation, this is an elite example of it.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine in the front office, in the general manager's office, there's nobody else that's ever run their own building either. You know what I mean?
Sometimes you got to just try to have new, fresh item, see what's happening.
Yeah, man. It is very, very, very interesting how that's all going to shake out in Chicago. If you look kind of elsewhere around the league, Jacksonville's got a mess on their hands. A lot of people believe Doug Peterson could be the next coach fired. The Jags are 2-8. Let's run through a quick version of who's cooked, okay?
Okay.
Jags done, 2-8.
I think so.
Giants done, 2-8?
Yeah, yeah.
When I asked Dunn about the Giants, do you think next training camp, you tell me who's still there? Daniel Jones.
I think Daniel Jones may be out. They're looking for a quarterback.
Brian Daboll.
And the thing about Daniel, he has an injury
they gotta settlement. Bench him.
So if they play him, he gets hurt, they got to pay him 29. So I think they're going to bench him because they're trying to preserve some money.
I think they have a bye, so it gives them a little bit of time to come back next week. Like, oh, we really want to see what Danny DeVito can do. Is Daboll back next year?
Nah.
What about Joe Shane?
If I'm if Saquon keep running, no, because that man John already told you gonna have a heartache, man. You know, so no.
My thing with Daboll, watching him enough, because the Giants are always on national TV and they always play the Commanders twice a year, et cetera.
Yeah,
I think he comes up with really, really good offensive concepts. I really do. Mm-hmm. But he does not seem equipped to handle bad situations. He seems quite emotional and reactionary. Until you can handle that, I don't know that you can be an NFL head coach.
I can't stand coaches who expect players to be much more together than they are.
Right.
And most coaches tell players what they have to do and got to keep it cool. He loses his cool every damn game. And he blames players too much for me. That would be a coach I know I would have had an argument with.
Panthers all of a sudden showing life. They've won two in a row. Bryce Young
Young is playing better too. So
now I'm not saying cooked in a – like they ain't making the playoffs. But all of a sudden the Panthers feel like they might have – I liked Canales. I liked the hire. What do you think of that Carolina squad?
I mean, they're not making playoffs this year.
Hell no.
And my thing is – how sure are you they're going to make them next year? Listen, this is the one where I'm going to have to say, I'm going to get my popcorn ready. They got to prove it to me.
Sure. But how different do you feel about Bryce Young now than maybe a month ago?
I just had two games. I can't give you – I think I'm still where I was.
Okay.
You got to prove it to me.
I think that's fair because the track record has been so long, so low. What do you make of everything going on in Dallas with the Sun? You and I have covered enough games down there. I've seen that sun be a factor. I remember it was a factor to Kirk Cousins. Jerry's defense that, like, yeah, our guys know when and where it's going to be, and they should account for that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, yes.
But
you can pick your side of the field, but things just happen in football fields. You don't always win the toss. Like,
yeah, you don't, but see, I just see it as an excuse by people. Green Bay has been – every other stadium seems to go north to south. Green Bay Stadium is set east to west. And right around 1:30, 1:45, that sun is going to be right there in the middle of the field. And you're going to have a punt coming to you. Do you know how to catch it? Are you going to look in the sun and get blinded? Or are you going to sit there and look kind of sideways to catch the ball? I had to learn how to do it up there. I didn't play Green Bay very often. So people that go to Dallas consistently, and if the players are there consistently, it's on them. Because a lot of times you build stadium, you're not going to move the stadium. And when Green Bay built that stadium, do you think they were thinking, let's do it like this so our players will know and the other teams don't? Because when I first went there, I'm like, I said, Coach, this sun going to set right here. He said, you better learn to catch the damn ball. John Harbaugh. And I caught the ball. You know what I'm saying? So that's an excuse for me if the players are complaining for that.
Who finishes with the better record?
Okay.
The New York Jets are 3-7. The New England Patriots are 3-7. I assume they have at least one more game against each other coming up, too.
Uh-huh.
Who finishes with the better record?
Well, I'm pulling for the Patriots. You know I'm not pulling for the Jets.
I'm aware.
So I'm going to go with the Jets. I mean the Patriots, though. I'm going to still go with the Patriots. I just think that dude is so full of himself that he just can't get out of his own damn way.
The Pats are largely a young team, young head coach, some good defensive players, with a young quarterback that's going to make mistakes and run around. Mm-hmm. But he's going to inspire an offense. You know what I mean? Like, guys are going to want to make plays for him. Yep. You hope he's able to stay healthy because some of it's a little reckless, et cetera, right? Like, when you've already dealt with the concussion, worries me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But there's – you could see a building motivation for that team.
They're going to play all the way to the end of the season.
Yes. I don't.
Aaron Rodgers is not going to be playing all the way to the end of the season.
I already told you, I don't think he starts week 18.
No. Yeah.
It's freezing rain in New Jersey. You think Aaron Rodgers is going out there?
You give me a bunch of young guys who are trying to prove a point, and you give me a bunch of spoiled-ass, pompous dudes that don't give a damn, and I will take those young guys trying to prove a point every day.
Right now, if the NFL draft order was determined this moment, Jacksonville would have the number one pick. The Giants would have the number two pick. Then Tennessee, Cleveland, Vegas, New England, New Orleans. Then the Jets. Who do you think finishes the season with the number one pick? Who do you think finishes the season with the worst record?
Jaguars have the worst right now?
The Jags and the Giants are both.
I think it's going to be probably the Jags. The Jags right now, like, they feel that they have their quarterback. I wouldn't feel it.
Keeps sounding like they're going to shut him down. They just haven't said it.
They now, you know who's number one in a lot of draft pick things that right now? The cornerback. Receiver.
Travis Hunter. Yeah.
So you get Travis Hunter on your team, yeah, that can help out.
He's a baller. What would you want Hunter to do in the pros?
I like him at corner, but I will damn sure be playing him at receiver. I will play him at receiver too. Listen, I understand everybody's getting worried about people getting hurt, this, that, and the other. He's not going to play as often, but he's going to get an opportunity to play. I guarantee you that.
Who would you take as the first quarterback?
First who?
First quarterback off the board.
Quarterback?
Kid from
I haven't
Miami.
Looked at Ward. Yeah. I'm about to say I haven't looked at a lot, but Ward is the best quarterback in college football right now.
I agree. I think he's playing at a really high level. I worry a little bit about some of the Caleb stuff that maybe he's too off schedule, but, you know, maybe you sort that stuff out. Does it feel like we are headed towards, now it's November 12th. It's mm-hmm. too early to know. Do you feel like if I could give you, you could have Chiefs, Lions as your Super Bowl pick or all the other teams, and you either get Chiefs, Lions, or you get everybody else for the Super Bowl. Not picking a winner, but just those are the two teams that get there.
I'm kind of feeling like that. You're right. I think that those two are the better teams right now. And they don't seem like they're getting worse. The thing that I'm telling you why I said on the AFC side, Kansas City hadn't played a good game yet, and they're 9-0. And what have we seen every year with them? When you get to the second half of the season, they all of a sudden start putting stuff together. So if history repeats itself, they might be right back in there again. And it'll be hard as hell for me to pick anybody against them.
I mean, I also, one minor second half prediction for me, the Vikings are playing fantastic defense. I get that. But, Lamphill, have you noticed how Sam Darnold's starting to play all of a sudden? Like, the magic seems a little evaporate-y. Have you noticed that, Landini?
Yeah, I mean, that's who Sam Darnold is.
He's got 5 picks in the last 2 games.
You have to realize, man, just like I said about
younger, 6 turnovers.
When I say this about the young quarterbacks, they have that 4-week and that 5-week thing and all that. People start to figure things out. And if you have been historically average, eventually you will be historically average.
Darnold right now, the Vikings, rather, are 7-2. They're really good. They're playing really good defense. Mm-hmm. Darnold now at 10 interceptions through 9 games.
Okay.
Over, under, end of the year, 15.5.
Over.
Landy?
What?
Over, under, 15.5 picks for Darnold.
Over.
Nobody go anywhere. We got to make some bets. Ah, you know what stinks about today? We didn't get Wendy Knows Sports because we were in Ashburn.
Oh, man.
And Wendy was in studio. Tell Wendy she owes us 2 segments next Tuesday when we're back on a normal schedule. Been a fun day out here in Ashburn. We're going to hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn in minutes. We'll have all that for you tomorrow. I'm sure Grant and Danny will have plenty for you when they take over when we're done here in just a few minutes. We end every show by making some bets. Call it Heard It Here First. Let's go. All right, Jeffrey, what you got?
And Jeff hasn't been here for an hour.
Where the hell did Jeff go?
Who knows?
Oh, boy.
Did we do?
Why are you trying to finish that song, man? Gotta have that song for tomorrow, bro.
So, well, then I guess, Lanville, do you have the results of yesterday's bet?
I know I lost, and Jeff lost, too, because he ain't here to defend himself.
Well, Jeff,
yep.
Jeff,
and Jeff, I won. I won my parlay, 2-0.
Did you?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, but did you? I don't care because I don't
First of all, I don't know who I bet on. I bet last minute, so. But, hell, the person that keeps it out here, I damn sure won.
All right, then I won, too. What the hell? Landfill, we're all
undefeated. You won, I'm 2-0.
Yeah.
Landfill, you won. Well, you lost. You said it. So you already gave it up. You won one.
All right, let's make some bets for tonight, then. Landy, what do you like tonight?
I'm taking the Celtics minus 15.
I did take OKC, and Cavaliers are 12-0 now.
Damn, are they really?
Yeah. With old boy Donovan Mitchell killing it.
Wow. They are 12-0.
They haven't lost yet, dog.
What's the record for longest?
I don't know.
Do you know that, Lanville?
What?
Like, what's the longest an NBA team has gone undefeated?
No, I don't know.
Longest NBA win streaks. I don't know. This is a sports show. Maybe one of us would know that thing.
Give me the Knicks and give me the Golden State Warriors.
It was the Warriors that did that.
Heavy Metal Chris is here.
Yeah, damn. Yeah. Somebody had a feeling
hey,
for Jeff.
Damn near broke my my eardrum with that deep ass.
All right, hold on. Now, Chris, don't answer this because clearly you Googled the same article I did. The Warriors.
Was that year they lost to LeBron in the finals? It was that year they had the crazy regular season record? I know that.
Chris definitely missed the part of like, yo, let me just ask B. Mitch this question without interrupting me. What do you think they started? How many straight?
I'm going to go with 22.
24. They started 24
and 0. I'm good at this game, Jay. Yeah. I get close every
time. You are very good at it. Horseshoes and hand grenades. All right, so what's your bet, B?
Damn, I forgot what I said now. I took the Golden State Warriors minus 2.5. I took the New York Knicks minus 3.5.
And, Lanville, you're laying 15 with
Actually,
the Celtics?
Actually, just give me Golden State money line.
Okay.
And I want Nick Steele minus 3.5.
Nothing makes me more giddy than B. Mitch's patented last second parlay.
That's not last second. I'm the first one to pick.
Lanville, what are you taking?
The Celtics.
Lanville's taking the Celtics. I think I'm taking.
You're taking the point spread because it can't be just a money line thing.
Yeah, I think he's laying 15.
All right.
I don't like this, But this works out either way. Either they lose or I win. I'm taking Duke tonight against Kentucky. I might actually try to watch that game. I think that'll be fun.
You taking Duke? They going to lose.
Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Barstool Nate for joining us. Thank you to Mike Jones for joining us. Thank you to Barry Sverluga for joining us. Thanks to all the callers. Fun day. We're getting close, man. Thursday Night Football is going to be a fun ride. Grant and Danny come your way next. You made it this far. I owe you a beer.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.